Hello and welcome to MedCurity Live. I am Joe Galatly.
I'm Amanda Hepper.
Today we're going to be talking about something really important for healthcare organizations, and that is disaster recovery. We'll be getting into some emergency response in future episodes of MedCurity Live, but there are some very key considerations for anyone in healthcare who is holding patient information, not just because you want to do this for your patients. It's also, there's some HIPAA requirements around this. And so we want to talk through what the key aspects of a disaster recovery plan look like and how do we get started with that?
Well, one of the first steps is to identify what disasters could potentially happen in your area. So some of them may sound far-reaching, but it's better to identify different disasters that could happen so that you're prepared if and when they do occur. So snowstorms, ice storms, fire, you never know when that can happen. Plumbing, I read an article about a clinic that had a server room and the plumbing on the floor above them wasn't working so well.
Yikes.
And so, yeah. So flooding, viral sicknesses. So this time of year, people are getting their flu shots and norovirus and different things like that can occur. So what happens if 3/4 of your staff calls in sick? So to identify those types of potential disasters is the first step.
So can you just watch some disaster movies and take your favorite scenarios? And so alien attack, what do we do in alien attack?
Right.
But that's really interesting to go outside of just, we can't get to our patient information. It's why, because that complicates it in a bunch of other ways.
That's exactly right. So then you want to develop a plan for each one of those potential disasters. And some of the elements on the plan certainly could be in place for all of them, and some not so much. So the first step after that is to develop that plan.
So as you start looking into the plan, one of the early things that we talk to groups about are understanding what you have and how critical it is, right?
Yes.
So having an inventory of all your systems, do they have PHI, are they not? What's the impact if that was not available? Can you get by a couple of days, or will you be canceling appointments from the moment it happens?
That's exactly right. So you want to identify your systems and what PHI are in each of those systems, who has access to that PHI, and then a natural segue from that are your backups. So you may be doing backups daily of your data. Have you backed up your entire system? And where is that located? Is it located off-site so that you can restore that?
One of the things that has complicated this are these ransomware attacks, because we've backups are great if we have them and they're solid, but we've seen instances where you may have an excellent backup process and you may be checking data integrity and you can restore that without fail. But if it's on the same network and you have your database gets encrypted by hackers, the backups are just as likely to be able to be accessed and encrypted as well. So we have more layers of consideration here, right? That backup needs to be cloud-based or off-site, or not just off-site, but off-network. And so that has complicated how we look at making sure we've got data available for us that is not as reachable, right?
That's exactly right.
By those type of events.
That's exactly right. Other things to have in your plan are defined roles. Who will call or initiate that we're going to start executing our disaster recovery plan, right? And you want everybody in your organization to know who will do that, and not only that, but what their role is. What part do I play in this disaster recovery? And you want these plans to be available and accessible off-site. Let's say they can't get into the office, so they need to know how they can get to that plan so they know what those next steps are. So that communication of that plan is very key. Accessibility of that plan is very key as well.
That's a good point. I could say 10 or 15 years ago, we'd have a binder in the help desk or in some certain area that we knew we could get to that. But you're right, there's a lot of scenarios. Again, watch a few disaster movies. Paper binders aren't exactly where maybe the best place to store that kind of information.
So we
document it once, and then is there an ongoing way to keep people really familiar with those roles?
That is a great question, and yes, there is. You can do drills. We suggest they not be announced. We've been in organizations where they make it a game, kind of. They have different sequences or different disasters associated with a different number on a dice, And so they have these unannounced drills. They call certain people in the organization, get them together, roll the dice, and say, okay, we do have a fire now. Go. And they have to act like it is a real disaster, which is really good, because what comes out of that is that you know if people understand what their role is in the organization. You do a lessons learned after that, so you can update your plans accordingly to make sure that they remain current.
Mm-hmm. So a little Dungeons and Dragons aspect of disaster recovery
right.
is helpful and wise.
Right.
But yeah, it keeps the dice, keep people on your toes, as an mm-hmm. example. So it's not scripted. We don't know exactly where it's
right.
going to go till it happens. But a very, very smart opportunity to walk through that. And you may be in a position where you have to justify budget for this. And it's like insurance. You hope you don't need it. But it's so critical for all healthcare organizations mm-hmm. to have a solid plan. And when you walk through a scenario like that, that it becomes a little more vivid why, hey, we would be completely strapped, or we would be shut down unless we you know, potentially invest in this backup scenario, or invest in other types of fallback DSL or other data connectivity lines. There's a number of things that will come up in a scenario mm-hmm. role play like that mm-hmm. that will help you really build a case around why you need some precautionary measures in place.
Right. So to spend time ahead of time with these different plans can save you money later. You may, some organizations may say, well, I don't have the time, I don't have the budget to put in a disaster recovery plan. You can't not afford yeah. not to have these things in place. And you mentioned insurance, which is a really good thing to look into for organizations, to make sure that you have insurance that will cover different types of disasters. Because one thing that happens is after one of these may occur, then you need to restore business, right, to normal operations. And that can take cash. And if you are cash poor, clinics will go out of business mm-hmm. sometimes because of that. So you want to make sure that you're adequately covered with your insurance.
Yeah. We've seen that happen.
Right. Testing restoration of backups is another thing that mm-hmm. you need to do. In those drills, unannounced, make sure that you understand who will be restoring those backups, who will have access during a crisis to that data. You may change roles during that, right?
That's right.
So.
Yep. People may need to wear more hats than usual
right.
in that scenario.
Right.
And that's straight out of the security rule in HIPAA, that we yeah. not only have a disaster recovery plan, a data backup plan, we also have to document and have a plan for how the data is still kept secure in that
emergency situation.
That's
right? exactly right.
We can't just start printing out paper and handing it to everybody without,
right.
Or just open up access wide to everyone. We have to be following some sort of plan that keeps it secure even during that
That's
critical,
exactly right.
Phase that you're in as the aliens are attacking or whatever is happening, right?
So I'm going to watch the movie you're talking about.
but that's absolutely not just good practice. That's absolutely a requirement of a covered entity under HIPAA.
That's exactly right.
And not one of the addressable areas either, like required.
Right? That's exactly right.
On the data recovery piece, one thing that's been more interesting lately, again, with ransomware driving this especially, is recovering data from alternative means. So, or making it available from alternative means. As we've had, for example, health information exchanges spun
yes.
up. We've had patient portals have been widely adopted now. There's some directions that you have your patient information flowing out already that may be appropriate or possible backup sources for
That's
patient
right.
information. So if your electronic health record system is down, whether it's your cloud vendor or your own internal,
mm-hmm.
There may be systems that already make sense from other business use cases that are in place, right? That we can go out
That's
and
right.
pull some of that patient information in order to continue to see those patients or to provide the care in the meantime.
That's exactly right. So back to the planning and identifying all the mm-hmm. systems where you have your PHI. Yeah,
yeah,
that will help in the recovery. And then I wanted to go back to the rules changing during the disaster. Part of business continuity and the recovery process is then as you restore these systems back, make sure that you don't forget to change access back.
Sure.
Too, right?
So the custodian needs to lose the full administrative rights
right.
by the end of it. But that's been an important conversation for groups that have been
yeah.
through these type of scenarios is we just need to extend access quickly, but still within a documented control process.
That's right.
Do you want to figure these things out in the middle of a disaster?
No. Those drills are very important. Some other tips. stay current with federal guidelines and state guidelines regarding disaster recovery, the HIPAA security rules. Another tip is to stay current with breaches that are going on, which may inform your decisions in your disaster recovery, or you may want to update your technology to prevent against different types of ransomware attacks and that type of thing. So if you stay current with that, it's not fun reading, but it is pain mitigation.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah. Better to be informed, and it is a changing landscape.
Yes.
So you can't set it and forget it. You have to be really paying attention.
Yep.
So we will be talking soon about other types of emergency preparation and response, and some of the there's community-wide drills that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
So some great opportunities to really partner up with other groups and say what would happen in the event of the emergency.
Right.
And business continuity comes into play. Not just how do we recover after, but yes, are we going to keep seeing patients? What's critical services that we need to offer the community? What do we shut down? Do we move services to the ER or stay in our building? Do we need a generator, et cetera? So a lot to think through in those scenarios.
On that, another thing to consider for business continuity is maybe having a reciprocal agreement with another like specialty.
Mm.
So if your clinic incurs a disaster and theirs doesn't, can you start seeing patients in their facility and get their help? And then you can offer the same thing, just as a tip.
And a cloud-based EHR would really support that.
Yes.
Really well, right? So you,
right.
From wherever you are, you can pull it up on your phone if you had to.
Right, yeah. Right. Can I share what my mom told me?
Yes, please.
A great offense is a good defense, mm-hmm. which is what we're talking about.
Yes. Yeah, so great. Well, those are some focus areas from a disaster recovery perspective. Again, we'll continue the conversation in future MedCurity Live segments, but please jump in with any questions. And thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.